The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
There's a lot of stigma around egg donation, and that is largely rooted in the cash compensation model. It feels transactional, impersonal, and icky for everyone involved. The donor, the intended parent, and the donor-conceived child down the line. It's a real missed opportunity because at its core, egg donation is someone doing something good and providing a life-altering opportunity for a family. The stigma is a problem on multiple fronts. It discourages women from helping a family grow, and that might be something she wants to do. It leaves intended parents without options, and it especially hurts the LGBTQ community that relies on egg donation for building their families.
That is our friend Lauren Mackler, CEO and founder of CoFertility. She will be speaking with us today about her new initiatives, Freeze by Co and Family by Co, that you may have already heard about. They just recently launched about a week and a half ago. So thank you, Lauren, dear, with your bad self, coming on the show, CEO, mom, wife, and so many other hats, taking the time out to speak to us today. I appreciate you so much, dear. We're on different time zones, so I appreciate you, girl.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
I want to start at the beginning, Lauren. When you became married, you wanted to start your own family.
Yeah.
And the struggles of trying to conceive began for you and your husband. Mm-hmm. Did you always know that there was an issue with fertility for you or your husband? Which one of you had the diagnosis, I should ask?
So my story starts before I was married. I was actually, I think my husband and I, we had been dating for about 3 months.
Okay.
And I had, at the time I was working at Uber. So I had joined Uber in the early days and was building a new business at Uber called Uber Health. So I was deep in, you know, building in the healthcare space. And I woke up one morning with a pain in my side and I didn't know what it was, but I knew something was wrong. And so pushed my doctors to give me some diagnostic testing. And after a bunch of tests and what ended up being a diagnostic surgery, I had masses just like growing throughout my abdomen. And I was diagnosed with an incredibly rare abdominal disease. So I'm one of fewer than 200 people on the planet to ever be diagnosed with this disease. Talk about rare. And it put into question, they basically told me like there's after a number of surgeries, which I would need to have to remove the disease and basically manage it going forward and some treatments associated with that, that there was a chance I would never be able to have a biological child. So I had a few months to sort of gather my thoughts ahead of a surgery and wanted to find out like, should I preserve my fertility? Should I freeze my eggs? Like what's the best path here? And just given because so little was known about the disease, it was sort of unclear if I could pursue egg freezing. And so I started to look into egg donation. I wanted to see, you know, what were the options out there if I decided not to freeze my eggs. And after seeing what was out there, I ended up having a conversation with my sister about it. And she froze her eggs and donated them to me in case I needed them someday. So I had those eggs sort of on ice waiting for me when I went into these major surgeries. And there was a, you know, there was a chance I'd wake up with no reproductive system from these surgeries. And so I had sort of peace of mind going into those surgeries. And then years later, I did end up keeping my reproductive system, thankfully. But when years later, my husband and I decided that it was time to try to conceive, I had waited, you know, the necessary year that the doctors recommended I wait after my last surgery. And they said, after that, try for 6 months. And if after 6 months, like come see us, we'll talk about using your sister's eggs. And on the sixth month, I got pregnant without using my sister's eggs. It was absolutely a huge shock and surprise to me, to my doctors, to everybody involved. And I'm so incredibly thankful that that was the case. And now have a beautiful 17-month-old daughter named Eden. And so my journey was a bit of a winding road with – I had sort of accepted the fact that I knew no matter what, I wanted to be a mother and I would be a mother someday. I could arrive at that conclusion. I just didn't know how I'd get there and I didn't know what it would look like. And I had accepted – it's funny. I give this advice to people in business sometimes, which is like – stay focused on the vision, on the end goal you have in mind, but remain flexible on the journey. And I had done the exact same thing with my fertility journey, which is like, I will have a baby. Who knows how? Who knows when? But like, just be flexible on the journey. And we ended up getting very lucky. But the experience of looking into egg donation and seeing, you know, just how quite frankly, I think antiquated the process is what really led me to want to build what we're building today.
What a freaking journey. Wow. Yeah. So now it makes sense how CoFertility started and where the inspiration and passion for it began. Yeah. It makes total sense.
Yeah.
And what year can you tell us for those who may not know?
Sure. Sure. So what happened was, I gave birth at like summer of 2021, went on maternity leave. I was still at Uber and had been thinking, you know, what's next for me? I'm not quite sure. And went back at the end of my maternity leave, knowing that I just had to, whatever I was going to do next had to be in reproductive health. I didn't know what, I wasn't totally sure, but it had to be in reproductive health. And I ended up giving notice without a real plan, which is something I was lucky enough to do. But the very next day, talk about the universe conspiring, mm-hmm. the very mm-hmm. next day, I got a DM from Hallie Tecco, who I know is someone that you know. And Hallie and I had known each other only peripherally through like the health tech space. We were certainly not on a DMing basis, let's put it that way. And as cheesy as it sounds, like my heart skipped a beat. So I was like, Hallie was someone I had looked up to for years. And so to get a DM from her, she had heard that I might be building something in the space and wanted to ask how fundraising was going. And mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know what I'm building yet. Like, you know, what do you think? And so she ended up calling me and she actually didn't know about my health history. So pitched me on this concept, this idea around the fact, and I should say a little more clearly what we're building, you know, with CoFertility, we give women the opportunity to freeze their eggs for free if they donate half of the eggs retrieved to intended parents who can't otherwise conceive. So that could be couples struggling with infertility or gay dads or cancer mm-hmm. survivors and the like. Mm-hmm. And Hallie pitched me on this concept without knowing what I had been through. Wow. And so when I shared with her my story, it was like the stars aligned and we were off to the races. From then on out, it was like Hallie's role was very clearly not going to be an investor, but she was like, let's do this. And so she mm-hmm. is now one of my co-founders. And then we brought on Ariel Spiegel, who had built the original CoFertility as a content site and platform and Instagram community that is, you know, an incredibly amazing, yes. active group of people. And we felt bringing on someone like Ariel was important, not just for her experience in fertility, but also before building CoFertility, initial work, she had worked with Victoria's Secret Pink and Coach, which is like, you know, really familiar with the younger Gen Z audience.
And the connection with building community and brands together. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So Ariel is our third co-founder. It all fell together from there.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, when it's meant to be, it's meant to be mm-hmm. in the aspect of building brands that serve people. And I think when you are serving people, things like this happen all the time. Yeah. You know, when it's in good intentions, pure heart, passion, mm-hmm. and a desire to help people. And what you guys are doing is when Hallie sent me a DM and then she emailed me the information about the new initiatives under mm-hmm. CoFertility, I was like floored because I had been wondering it was so funny because that week I was like, I'm seeing so many more people in the community having to go the route of egg donation and such, whether it's LGBTQIA members and or just people who have been on the path for quite a while and their eggs, the woman's eggs, the female's eggs is just not happening for them, right?
Yeah.
And I have been thinking and contemplating, and I'm no brand builder. So to see you guys do things like this is just so inspiring. And it's really phenomenal how you guys can weed out and see the gaps and what needs to be connected to bring it all together. It's really, truly a gift. It really is. And so I just applaud you guys for what it's going to do for people, especially with the overturning of Roe v. Wade and this being an option for people in so many different ways. And it's, you guys are trailblazing. People are going to be copying you soon.
We'll see. We're really excited about the response so far. I'll tell you that.
Yes. And you guys have so many donors lined up already, right?
Yes. We have over 50 women who are part of our split program. So that's where they sign up and they're pre-qualified based on their medical history, their lifestyle factors, and a number of other things to participate in the program where, you know, half of their eggs go to intended parents. And we have over 1,000 right now in process with their application. So it takes a bit of time for someone to fill it out and for our team to review it. And then we actually meet with everyone before we list them. It's really important to us that we get to know each of these women. And those are like my favorite conversations all day. I absolutely love to meet with our members. And actually, I really love meeting with intended parents too on the Family BiCo side and hearing about their journey so far and what they're looking for in a donor. I feel this like, I don't know, kind of like a matchmaker, you know, like I know exactly who they should look for. And it's so much more, I've learned it's so much more than like what someone looks like, you know, it's like, it's about connecting with this person on a deeper level. And learning about their personality and their interests and their goals and their ambitions. And finding, like, we've heard from intended parents who've matched already, like, this donor made my heart sing. Like, that's the quote we're hearing, right? Like, if we can help do that, like, what better feeling is there? So, we've been really, really encouraged by who's coming through so far and the results we're seeing.
Phenomenal. I wish my eggs were young enough. I would donate to you guys because I know there's a shortage of black and brown people in that aspect. And when it does become available, it goes within minutes. So, just truly phenomenal work you guys are doing. And so I know you just briefly stated the breakdown and the structure of how Freeze and Family BiCo work, but can we break that down a little bit more for our friends listening who may be in need of you guys' services how they can receive donations and also donate and how that structure works for us.
Cool. So I'll start by explaining the Freeze BiCo platform. So that is where we enable women to more accessibly pursue egg freezing through two options. And for those who aren't familiar, you know, egg freezing, while not a insurance policy and not guaranteed, unfortunately, it's not a perfect science. People who freeze their eggs, especially younger, the younger they are, the more likely they are to have options in terms of having a baby later in life if they should experience infertility, right? So the problem for most people is that egg freezing is cost prohibitive. The best time to freeze your eggs is when you can least afford it, right? And so our goal here is to change that and make it more accessible for more women. So, you know, make it available to people who might not have that as like a fertility benefit with their, you know, their employer. So with Freeze BiCo, we have two programs. One program, like I mentioned before, is our split program where those who qualify get to freeze and store their eggs for free for up to 10 years. When they give half of the eggs retrieved to a family who can't otherwise conceive. And then our KEEP program is for anyone who wants to participate. Maybe they are, you know, don't meet some of the qualifications to participate in the split program, or maybe they're not interested in donation, which is like totally cool. It does not need to be for everyone. Those women can participate in the program. They'll freeze their eggs and store all of them for their own future use. and can take advantage of our built-in community and some discounts along the way to help lighten the financial load. But everyone, whether you're in our Split or Keep program, you get access to our online community that I mentioned, where people get to talk openly about the egg freezing experience that they're going through in real time, and also access not only our team, but our incredible advisory board of medical experts and different like programming that we have. So that's our Freeze by Co program. Then we have our Family by Co program. And this is our really our human-centered approach for intended parents to find their perfect match in an egg donor. So our matches are really made in a more like personal and empathetic way, where intended parents also get support tools and resources and education in a community with other intended parents who are going through it. And we've heard from our intended parents so far that they feel a sense of purpose, that they are getting to play a role in helping someone preserve their future fertility in a very accessible format, as opposed to the more traditional transactional nature of cash compensation for egg donation. And I want to be clear too, like we welcome all intended parents. So single or coupled, regardless of what brought them to us, we will support them with compassion and respect for whatever path is best for them.
And I love that you guys have both the Freeze and Family by Co, because it bridges the gap between education and knowledge for people wanting to donate and for those who are intended parents. And from what the many interviews that I've done over the last 3 years, I find that there's a lack of education in that aspect. And a lot of the agencies that people have come across or have worked with, they're not educating properly and not really explaining things and not taking their time. And they complain of it being much like fertility clinics and it just being a number and they're rushing you through things.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the things you had mentioned earlier about you guys' approach with meeting with everyone, yes. Right? Yeah. And so how do we manage that? How do we do that with everyone who's applying and whether intended and or donating? Do you have a team of people who are trained specifically to look for things? How does that work?
Yeah. So we have a clinical operations team of member advocates that have years of experience in third-party reproduction and being part of this ecosystem, as well as the guidance and support of our medical advisory, who includes, you know, reproductive endocrinologists, fertility psychologists, OBGYNs, folks who have really been in this space. And then I'm actually a huge proponent of having our entire team participate in calls like this. I think that no matter what kind of business you run, you have to stay close. And for us, it's our members. Like these are members of the co-fertility community, right? These are not, we don't call them customers on purpose. But I believe in being like member obsessed. And I think the only way you can be member obsessed is if you are talking to them always. And so, you know, I'm the CEO, but I'm still taking member calls every day. And that's something I, as our company grows, I, you know, maybe not all day every day, but I think it's important that everybody is having these conversations so that we can continue to be incredibly focused on our member.
Now, before we were recording, Lauren shared that she is very much aligning with the stars, the universe kind of person like myself, as you guys already know. And so how do you foresee moving forward with taking on such, well, it's a huge undertaking to be able to meet with everyone. And so how will you guys manage and how you foresee managing that? Are you hoping, wishing, praying in the stars that you will have more people coming forward, wanting to be a part of it so that you guys can screen people with the same love and care?
Absolutely. So we actually, at part of our launch, we opened up our careers page and have a number of roles open and have seen some of the most incredible applications come through. And I have to tell you, what's been so exciting has been we've had some of our Split members, so women who are waiting to be matched, have applied for that member advocate role on our team. And so that feels so good, right? To know just how committed they are and excited they are about our mission. And we've actually also seen, even just this morning, inbounds for that member advocate role from, you know, IVF moms who've built their families through egg donation, you know? And so to me, what better member advocate is there than someone who has gone through it themselves and who can really speak from experience about what it feels like? So to me, especially when you're a startup, right? Like every hire you make is like a huge percentage of your team, your workforce, right? So I spend a lot of time with all of our candidates before we make a hire to just make sure that every person you hire is so much more than their resume. And so I really like to get to know them as people and make sure that they feel like the best extension of our mission and that they can live it in every conversation that they have.
I love that. I love that. You have such great answers, Lauren. That's how I meant. You guys are so passionate about what you're doing and really just being intentional about helping people, especially with this, again, the Roe v. Wade and people not knowing what they're going to be able to do with their eggs and such like that. And so this is just such phenomenal work and I love it. I'm a fan, been a fan, will forever be a fan.
Oh, the feeling is mutual.
So that's I want to backtrack just for a minute. I was reading your article on Fast Company Startup, which I have linked in today's show notes for you guys to tap and go. You can read more about co-fertility, the new initiatives, and more about what the intention is behind everything. And so I noticed that, well, in the article, you stated that you saw a gap in the egg donation world and the affordability of it for people. And a lot of people not moving into it because it's not accessible financially. Yeah. And so when was that light bulb moment for you there? Yeah.
So I think it's two parts, right? I think that like it started this thinking around egg freezing being super inaccessible, right? Like there are people who have coverage from their large employers to, you know, have free egg freezing, but it's still such a tiny percentage of people that have access to that. And so on average, I think egg freezing is like $12,000 to $20,000, you know, across the country. And it varies based on the city you live in or how much medication you're prescribed. And that's great for some people if they can afford it. But that's not the case for so many women because there are a lot of people that freeze their eggs who never end up using them. And that's cool, right? And that's something that everyone should know, right? That would be honestly the best case scenario. If you have them, but you don't end up using them, and that's okay. But having them and knowing you could use them is a great alternative. But I think that the question for us became, how do we make it egg freezing more accessible in a scalable way, right? So for a lot of people, not just for like a handful of people in different cities. And so what is a scalable way? And that's me coming from Uber with like this scalability mindset. How do we do it in a scalable way? How do we make this something that, you know, a lot of people have access to? And quite frankly, a lot of the women who want to freeze their eggs want to freeze them because they have prioritized their education. They've prioritized building a career. They haven't yet found a partner yet. And so these are women who, because they've prioritized their education, maybe they like are in debt from school or, you know, can't quite afford egg freezing yet. And so how do we make it more accessible for them at scale? And that's where this idea around donation came in. And part of it is because the three of us had looked at egg donation for different reasons, whether through our careers professionally or personally. And we saw parts of egg donation that were broken, right? And so, you know, I think one issue with egg donation is really cash compensation, right? I think that it really causes a stigma and it makes it so people are sort of turned off to donating their eggs. It's stigmatizing for a donor. But also there was a study that came out in Harvard recently of donor-conceived people that showed that 62.2% of donor-conceived adults said that the exchange of money for donor eggs felt wrong. And 40% of them said that they were disturbed by the fact that money was exchanged for their own conception, right? So they don't feel great about cash compensation either. And so this issue is making it so there's a wait list for eggs for a lot of people, especially more diverse communities. And then I think the experience of egg donation in general is like largely just like antiquated and disappointed. So like intended parents could be scrolling through profiles that, you know, are overemphasizing classist attributes and good looks, right? And that doesn't feel great. So you're kind of like, oh, am I looking at like a cringy dating site right now? And there's really not a ton coming through around a donor's values or their background or their personalities, right? Like those are the things that intended parents really want to know. And yeah, I mean, especially I want to come back to this idea around ethnic diversity amongst donors, because it's leaving intended parents without adequate options for growing a family that reflects their background. So if you yes. ask like most intended parents, they'll often tell you that their search first and foremost is around finding someone who shares their nationalities rather than everything yeah. else.
And that's usually the first thing on a list. And then I've recently read an article where a young woman says she had to like kind of be, she had to break herself down for her sperm. This yeah. is not for egg, but she yeah. this is for a sperm donor because she's part of the LGBTQIA yeah. community. Yeah. And she said, you know, it was like, it was almost like a breaking down of the picture I had in my head, like we do so much
yeah.
in family building and such. So I yeah. love that you brought yeah. that up. Yeah.
So for us, this is about like, you can't have egg donation without egg freezing, right? Like the first step of donating your eggs is freezing them. And so bringing them together and doing it in a way that is accessible to women all over the country and available to intended parents all over the country mm-hmm, gives mm-hmm. everybody more options and more access to what they're looking for, whether that be egg freezing more accessibly or their perfect match in an egg donor.
Yeah. What is your vision for the long term, Lauren?
And wow.
where do you yeah. see or hope to see freeze and family and co-fertility going from here? Do you yeah. hope to expand and fill in more gaps for us out here
Absolutely.
In these trying to conceive streets?
I would be lying if I didn't say we had big ambitions, for sure. I think like for us, it comes down to helping more people have babies on their own timeline. So for some people, that would be babies someday, right? For the women who are hoping to freeze their eggs. And for intended parents, like the people who sometimes wish they had a baby yesterday, right? Like we want to help them have a baby ASAP. And so that's what it comes down to for us. I think I'm big on remaining focused on what we have in front of us so that we can really execute well. But we absolutely have our sights set on, you know, the ways that we can help more people have babies, right? Like that's what it comes down to. And that's what gets me excited to come to work every morning.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Is there anything that you would say to our friends in the community, a word of wisdom, inspiration, or hope, if whether they're on the path of egg donation or freezing, just anything that you would be able to offer them?
Yeah. I mean, so much. First, I mean, come find us. We'd love to talk with you. But I'm come back to what we chatted about earlier, which is like remain steadfast on the outcome and be flexible on the journey. And, you know, we're here for you no matter what your journey looks like or where, which side of this you're coming from. I would also encourage folks to check out our stance on our website. Our website is cofertility.com. Our stance is really about just generally how we feel about the industry and the space and sort of what needs to change. I think one thing we didn't cover is the concept of sort of anonymous donation.
Mm-hmm,
We believe that anonymous donation is not realistic in today's world. Things like 23andMe are incredibly pervasive and genetic tests are happening. And so if there are egg banks or egg agencies that are promising you anonymous egg donation, either as an intended parent or as a donor, like that's a false promise. You know, we work with all parties in the scenario to find a solution and an agreement that works well for them, whether that be a disclosed donation with a relationship or an undisclosed, you know, relationship without. But like for us, we just want to be clear about that at the upfront. So check out our stance. Know that someone is, you used the word intentional before. I love that word. We are incredibly intentional about this whole ecosystem and you'll see that reflected there. So check that out. But yeah, we're we're ready to go. We have donors for folks that are looking, and we're excited to help you match or help you along the way in this journey any way that we can.
Yes, friend. And thank you, Lauren, so much for your time again, breaking down you guys' structure and how you differ from the traditional freezing and egg donation agencies and or ways of doing so. A lot of people do use their fertility clinics to freeze and such like that. And so this is more of a great option aside from that. And so I just appreciate you. I appreciate the work that you do, that you continually do, even after having quote unquote the bundle and the success after infertility. And I'm rooting for you guys, and I'm here. Anything else comes along that you guys want to launch, I'm here for you to record anytime.
Amazing.
And to share you as a resource has been my absolute honor. So we thank you, friends, for tuning in, and you will be able to see all of the information for Cold Fertility. You can go right to their website from this episode, whether you're listening on YouTube and on or your favorite audio streaming platform. Yeah. And you can connect with Cold Fertility, Freeze by Co, Family by Co, if you just want to get a consult and get a feel and a vibe for the company.
So, yeah, check us out on Instagram. Yes, we have at Freeze by Co and at Family by Co. And if you want to talk to me directly, I'm at Lauren Mackler. I'm just so excited. Thank you so much, Monique.
Thank you, my dear. And thank you, friends, for tuning in to another episode of Infertility and Me podcast. You guys know where to find me on the gram. Peace and blessings.